I'll tell you what one of the great joys of this Advent season will be for me is a phone call that you helped me make this week to Pastor Debbie Galloway, who is the pastor of a small little church in Morenci, Michigan, the small little United Methodist Church there that is the home church to the three skeleton boys who have been missing since the day after Thanksgiving. We talked about that last week and how we could be good news and how we could be the beautiful feet. And I just simply invited you to be a part of that offering. And I set a basket out there last week and I was able to call her and write her a check for almost $1,200 this week. And that is from the work and the mission that you do. And I called her on Monday when I received the good news of your generosity, and I told her that that we've been praying for her, and I asked her if there's anything that she needed, and she says, you know, I was just meeting with my clergy group today for prayer and support, and I told them the one thing I don't have that I need is a little pastor's discretionary fund so I can help take care of some of the needs that are arising as we become ministry. And I said, Debbie, you didn't know that God was already answering your prayer. And so you've been involved in answering an important prayer in this season. Thank you for being the beautiful feet that that bring good news. In addition to that generous offering, you also bought about $400 worth of cookies last week. And all of that goes to help make our mission apportionments as well. What a generous church through which the Spirit of God flows so freely. I praise God for each of you each day. When I wake up and every night before I set my head down on that pillow. Thank you for letting God's Spirit flow so mightily through you. We've been doing a sermon series here in Advent called Ancient Words, looking at the words of the prophet Isaiah that foreshadowed the coming of Christ, reminding us that there are words older even than the Christmas story that pointed towards what God was going to do in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. Today we turn to Isaiah's 11th chapter and hear some very familiar words, and I invite you to experience those ancient words through the images of modern technology. Hear now these words from the prophet Isaiah, taken from the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out from its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. And the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the people, that the nations shall require of him, and his dwelling will be glorious. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One day this guy was out in the woods, and he came upon a great big grizzly bear, a 7-foot-tall grizzly bear. And this bear began to chase him down, and so this man began to run as fast as he could, trying to do all that he could to get away from this bear that was behind him. And suddenly this man tripped and fell on a root of a tree, and he laid there and he saw this bear begin to come up over him and lift one big paw, and he screamed out, "Lord, help me!" And suddenly time stopped. The bear's claw froze in the air, and the voice of the Lord said, "Sure, call on me now. You've never called on me before. What do you think I should do to help you now?" And the man sat there and he said, "Lord, you are right to call on you now after a lifetime of never being in relationship with you would make me a hypocrite. So if you can't save me, would you at least make that bear a Christian bear?" At which moment time started to speed up again, and that bear took his one big claw and brought it together with his other claw, bowed his head, and the bear said, "Lord, thank you for this food which I am now about to receive through Christ our bounty." Predators and prey. Sometimes it feels like the world is divided into those two groups, doesn't it? The predators and the prey. The winners and the losers, the strong and the weak, those who get to feast and those who get to be feasted upon. I'm sure at one time or another, all of us have felt like prey, felt like we can't get a break. No matter how hard we try, we simply cannot win. We simply cannot get ahead. Seems like our sole existence in the world is to be there for others to take advantage or pick on. You ever felt like the prey? But just as we've all felt like prey, I know that there have been moments in our lives when each of us, if we were honest, would say we've also been predator. We've walked around with someone else's self-worth or self-esteem caught between our teeth. We've been the ones who pounced on others when they were weak or when they were down, took advantage of people when they were at their most vulnerable. So predator and pray. We know that reality because that reality lives in each of us. And so along comes the prophet Isaiah with those ancient words and says that Christmas, that the coming of Christ is all about the relationship between the predator and its prey. Those beautiful words from the Isaiah chapter 11. You've heard those words so many times, but for a moment, get caught, if you will, in the beautiful imagery that it portrays. The wolf will move in with the lamb. The leopard and the goat, they'll begin to take naps together. The calf and the lion, well, they're going to become best friends. And the cow and the bear, well, they're going to go out to eat together. And they're going to order vegetarian. It's an amazing scripture about the change of relationships. I mean, can you think about what would have gone through the lamb's mind the first time the wolf was on the other side of the phone and said, "Hey, buddy, I got this room for rent. Thought maybe you'd want to move in." Can you imagine what went through the lamb's mind when the wolf reached out, or when the leopard says to the goat, "Hey, you look tired there, buddy. Why don't you just come on over and take a rest on my couch right here. Put your feet up. Shut your eyes. Fall asleep. It's going to be okay." But that's the kind of world that Christ says he's come to create. One of brand new relationships where predator and prey no longer are at odds with each other. For the prey, for those preyed upon, it means a whole new trust in those they've always defined as their enemy. But for the predator, it's a whole new way of living in the world. It means changing your place in the pecking order, your place in the food chain. And we know that this scripture isn't just about the animal world that goes on around us, but the animal reality that lives within us. For there is a part of us that is wolf, a part of us that is lion, a part of us that is grizzly bear. And that is a good reminder, especially at Christmas, because in the rush and the stress of this season, the wolf and the lion and the bear and all of us can just easily come right out. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she said her husband declared that he's just not going to do Christmas dinner with her family this year. He says it brings out the bear in him. So he's just going to stay home. And I saw it last night in the lobby of the McDonald's. There it was, full of people, and poor little Sean, the poor kid behind the counter. He was the sheep ready to be torn to pieces. He was outmanned. He was unprepared for the crowd of busy shoppers, hungry shoppers who filled that McDonald's lobby. And as the orders piled up and as people sat there and waited, I literally watched the man next to me begin to bare his fangs. I watched the woman with her two children grow paws and begin to pace the cage, ready to pounce on unsuspecting Sean at any minute. The poor kid was ready to be ripped to shreds. Julie, you work at Panera. You ever feel like the crowd behind the other side of the aisle is ready to pounce and grab you? Yes, she says she does, especially at Christmas. Especially at Christmas. This season, let us be aware of the predator that lives in all of us. And remember to extend patience and grace to those who are most likely to get attacked this season. To that poor cashier at the Walmart who's working for minimum wage and is more excited to get Christmas over with than any of us. Think of how quick we are to pounce. Or on that overworked waitress working the Saturday lunch hour at the Coney Island with the line out the door, how quick we are to pounce. Or for the teachers or the daycare providers who take care of our children in the midst of the rush of this season, or the father we can't seem to forgive, or the son we can't seem to ever get it right, or in this season make sure that the promise is true, that the lion and the lamb will lay down with one another. But this scripture really paints a much broader, more beautiful picture than just that. Hear these words again. A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow on its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the one who is to come. And it'll be a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, and the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the little children will lead us. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountains, and the earth will be filled of the knowledge of God just as much as the water cover the seas. This amazing vision of a whole new world that the Christ is to be bringing in. And here's the amazing thing. When Isaiah wrote those words some 2,000, oh gosh, he wrote those words like 3,000 years ago. It wasn't written in a moment of beauty or reverie. He didn't write it while sitting on a mountain staring at the serenity of the surrounding fields. He didn't write those words while watching a dazzling sunset. No, Isaiah wrote those words in the midst of dazzling swords of the great overpowering Assyrian army as they sliced their way through his native land. You see, Isaiah wrote those words when he was living through what is called the first Holocaust of the Jewish people. It occurred between the year 740 and 700 BCE. Five times during those 40 years, the Assyrian army stampeded through the hills of Isaiah's homeland with no regard for anyone or anything that comes in their way. Over and over again, these people had been torn apart. They knew what it was like to live in the presence of the predator. And here comes Isaiah and writes those words that when the Christ comes, the lion and the lamb shall lay down with each other. Can you hear the prophet Isaiah say, even though this world has become a living nightmare, even though there is no sign of peace to come anywhere, even though human greed and destructiveness are running rampant, hear the words of Isaiah. The promise of God is more powerful than all of the human destructiveness around it. Hear the promise of God again. The promise of God is more powerful than all of the destructiveness that goes on around it. More powerful than when violence visits our family. More powerful when cancer sits at our doorstep. More powerful than the pain of brokenness and divorce. More powerful than addiction and loneliness and bigotry and hatred. The promise of God is even more powerful than the finality of death. The wolf and the lamb will lay down together, and the little children will lead us. A whole new world is emerging right here in the midst of the old. And I know what you're sitting out there saying. You really believe that, preacher? Really? If I didn't believe it, I'd be doing something else with my Sunday mornings. I believe it because I've seen it. And I see it time and time again. And so I hold on to the hope until I see it. And I see it in you. For every now and then, peace breaks forth in the midst of a place where we never thought it was possible. Every once in a while, even the deepest and oldest wounds actually find healing. Every now and then, the hatchet gets buried so deep that it can never get dug up again. And friends, I have no way for accounting for how those things happen. I just know they do. So hear the promise of Isaiah again. That the wolf will lay down with the lamb. And the lion will lay down with the goat. And the bear and the ox, they'll go out to eat together. And they'll become friends. A new world is emerging from the stump of a dead tree. A smile on a long frozen face. The step back into a church after years of hurt. The little baby who cries in the manger. There once was a grandfather who was having a conversation with his grandson shortly after the attacks on 9/11. The grandfather turned to his grandson and said, "It feels like I have two wolves living within me. One wolf only wants to bring violence and destruction and revenge, and the other wolf wants to bring peace and harmony and joy." The little grandson turned to his grandfather and said, "Well, Grandpa, which wolf is going to win?" The grandfather turned to his grandson and said, "The one we feed. The one we feed." Friends, let's feed the new world, for it is emerging. Merry Christmas.